the three biggest misperceptions about being psychic. Number one, you can read everyone's mind. You know what everyone is thinking. Number two, you know the outcome of everything. You can predict everything in life. Number three, somehow psychic abilities are evil, bad, demonic. Stay cozy with the most luxurious bamboo, sheets, towels, PJs, slippers, everything for you and your home to stay cozy. And yes, you can afford it. You can afford luxury with 41% off. That's right, 41% off. Cozy Earth with my code GOODVIBES, cozyearth.com. Stay cozy with code GOODVIBES, GOODVIBES. What makes a food super? Well, it's because it's packed with vitamins and minerals. In ZyvoLife, well, they are assisting you with awakening to the simplicity of this green algae. It is absolutely amazing. It's a superfood all in one drink for you. Awaken, make yourself a ZyvoLife superfood all in one green algae drink. Save 30% if you want to give this a try. I love superfoods. I love it. I use moringa even with my skincare. And you can also save 21% off to Love Indus for healthy skin. So if you want to treat yourself to cozy and healthy, then use my code GOODVIBES at zyvo.life.com and loveindus.com. It's zivo.life.com for the superfood. Awaken your senses and power up every morning with ZyvoLife. Now entering the Lucid Life Vibes portal, opening the gateway, the entrance, the doorway that is the Lucid Life Vibes podcast. Yeah, those three misperceptions, I think that's what I hear the most. But here's the interesting thing. That is from one perspective. You see, my perspective, along with many other humans, well, we know that intuition and all the psychic abilities are actually part of being human. I don't believe I am a psychic and you are not, right? I mean, that just doesn't even make any sense to me. And so there is this perspective from those who do not embrace their intuition and that they too have access to all the psychic abilities. And again, there's so much judgment around this word psychic. It's a hot potato word, right? And so we're really only limited by our beliefs, right? Our understanding, what we know. And we all perceive and receive in a different way, but we also see life, right? Our worldview, life perspective in different ways. It's interesting because we don't actually see with our eyes. We actually see in the back of our brain. The human body is amazing, but our brain, our headspace, wow. So the eyes, right? They are projecting that image to where we're processing what we're seeing, the information, and we're actually processing it through all of our experiences in the back of our brain. And so everybody is filtering what they're experiencing in every present moment, now moment, through their past, through everything they've experienced, their understanding, their knowing, their belief system, right? And we've been talking about people who are closed and people that are open, right? This closed mind, closed heart, open heart. And you can even be open to your gut instinct, right? So the intuition, that innate instinct, that inner navigational system, the psychic ability is the extension of that. There's a list of psychic abilities, and we're talking about all of them. And I think we're going to keep this going into season 5. I think this is just going to be the new topic of the Lucid Life Vibes podcast, because I know you're loving it. It's my favorite conversation to have. When awareness becomes your superpower, you can acknowledge that awareness, and it will take you to the next awareness. That's how I navigate with my intuition and psychic abilities, right? A lot of people sense the intuition, sense some of the psychic abilities, right? A lot of people feel like they have spiritual gifts, right? Like certain people can do certain things. Absolutely, in a way, that is true, in a way. That some of us, it's more innate, but it doesn't mean we don't have access to those abilities. And you can grow that, just like any muscle, right? Muscle memory. By doing it, by trying it, right? The practice of that, to even see if you like that. Some people, they just don't like using all of those psychic abilities, right? Like some people, this idea of precognition, tuning into the future. Now for me, precognition, because I use precognition, it's really innate to me, this precognition, but it's not making predictions at all. That's not what's happening. You're feeling through the momentum of energy, the unfoldment of time and space. And it's interesting because sometimes you can get a date. Sometimes you can get a beat on the when. However, there's a lot going on with the fabric of time and space, the unfoldment of time and space. And some things are unknown, and some things can be slowed down, sped up. At the same time, I talked about in the last podcast, I was telling a story about how I shield myself, right? And I have this natural filtration and protection around me that not everybody is welcome into my energy field. And so I was at a group energy session healing, and I absolutely closed myself off, shielded myself, and became the mirror. I still enjoyed the experience, but not allowing people to come into my energy field or read me. And they were uninvited, and that's okay. You don't have to allow people into your energy field. I still enjoyed being there with everybody, but I didn't want anybody coming into my energy field reading me anything like that. We can absolutely shield ourselves. We can still be participating in whatever that is physically, but we can also energetically, mentally, emotionally, right, have this shield, this filtration, this protection. And then we have this inner navigational system, our intuition, right? And we can be open to receiving that communication, right? I even talked about that song, Psycho Killer, Run, 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 right? When your intuition goes, run. Yeah. Especially those of you on dating apps. Dun, dun, dun. Right? Are they real? Catfishing is a thing. And we talked about that in a recent podcast, right? Is it fake, fact, or fiction? Is it real? Your inner navigational system, your intuition tells you, you know, your gut instinct, are you listening? Or does your head space take over and you convince yourself, right? You talk yourself out of following that inner navigational system. And so when it comes to people, places, things, you can be tuned in for yourself. Absolutely. But then you can open beyond your intuition to those psychic abilities to receive and perceive even more. And then your awareness expands and you awaken more of your senses and you become more sensitive to receiving. But how do we tune in to the psychic abilities? Awareness. Awareness is how you tune in. So if you're closed off, right, it makes it really hard to receive. And so when I say that I'm shielded, that's from other people, places, and things so that I can receive for myself, creating that sacred space within you, and then expanding it around you. And so ultimately, we can create our own headspace, right? Our own experience. And you can create a moment of peace even within the chaos. I mean, think about the storm. Think about the tornado, the hurricane. The eye in the center, completely calm. It's actually really strange in a hurricane when you have these just crazy powerful winds, like the force of the winds. So strong and relentless, and they just come at you and come at you, right? And the water is just, it's incredible, the force behind a hurricane. But yet, there's this calm center. So you'll get this relentless wind and rain and just raging storm. And then it's completely calm and birds and quietness and serenity and peace and like perfect weather in the center. And then here it comes again, absolute destruction. Same with the tornado, the I in the center, the I am that I am. You are the I in the center. You can be the calm in the storm. And our breath really is that connecting point. So when you simply breathe in your nose, exhaling out your mouth, you're calming the parasympathetic nervous system. You're calming yourself, breathing in the nose, out the mouth. And when you focus on your breath and not on the thoughts or the chaos, you can calm yourself to be open to your awareness, your intuition, and psychic abilities in any moment. But that does require practice, right? Creating a habit. So that was always my goal with meditation. You know, meditation is this theta brainwave state of mind. You're just chill. You're just calm. And I have a podcast about meditation, actually several. And I have so many meditations wherever you're listening to this podcast. Now, there is a meditation I have specifically about psychic abilities to assist you in activating. What's an activation? An opening. So how do you activate your truth? How do you activate your intuition? How do you activate psychic abilities? You just open to it. And it really is your awareness. But then you have to trust your instinct. You have to trust your gut instinct. It's all within you, this guidance. Is there guidance outside of you? Yes. But when you're tuning in and tapping in to your intuition, your psychic abilities, it's all within you. And I always like to remember that there's that pineal gland, right? Right in the center of our brain. Our nervous system is the control panel for the body. And so that pineal gland right in the center of the brain, right? And then you've got that brain-body connection through the neck, this like control panel all the way down your spine. And within your pineal gland, there are crystals. And so you are crystalline. The earth is crystalline. There's crystals in our technology. There's something with the crystals. Absolutely. There's also 70% water in your body and earth, and that's how it interacts with the crystals, our bodies, the water. And then the mitochondria DNA is pure energy within you. So if you think about the crystals, the water, the pure energy in your mitochondria DNA, right? You can really feel for this power station within you, that life force creation energy that flows within you. And the fact is that every thought and word that we speak, it does matter because it creates the matter. Matter is quanta. So it's quantum energy, quantum physics. And part of that is this electromagnetic experience. And we are electromagnetic, the in and out. So there's this electromagnetic aura, this field. And so nothing's ever blocking or stopping you. Everything's always moving in and through. Movement, movement. Movement is the abundance of the universe. So nothing's ever stopped, blocked. But can we feel that way? Can we feel? Yes. Can we feel like, oh, you're psychic, you're not? Yes. Some people can't feel that way because they don't feel tuned in. They don't feel like they have those abilities. You know, people could look at me again and say, oh, psychic, right? When really I know that we all have access to all the psychic abilities. Now, I'm just more tuned in, maybe. I just have the muscle, right? The practice. And no doubt. So I have confidence. So when you lack confidence when it comes to intuition and psychic abilities, right? Then you question, you doubt it. You're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Right? Ooh, I don't know. And so that also is a big difference that those of us that could be, right, labeled psychic, I think it's just we're confident and it's innate. It's part of life. But how we tune in and tap in and what we receive and perceive, it's all different. And I think that's one of the biggest misperceptions is thinking that using your psychic abilities means that you read other people's mind, right? It's all psychic invasion, that there's no privacy. And really, it's all a communication. So knowing that your intuition and psychic abilities is really this in and out communication, it's the same thing as the electromagnetic. Everything, there's an in and out flow, in and out, in and out, right? I mean, think about your body, how your body processes. It's an in and out. Now, when we hold on to things, it changes the experience. There becomes heaviness. And so there's this openness, which requires trust. Knowing that you're protected, knowing that there's a filtration. And so we've also been talking about that. So I think that when you don't understand something, right, it can bring up fear. And then to think that some humans have the ability to just read all of our minds and psychically invade us. And the thing is that nobody can read me. Nobody can psychically invade me. But I also know if I'm going to remote view, I need to be cautious in what I'm remote viewing because I can be detected. And so are there many conversations around all the psychic abilities? Yes. And each psychic ability is deserving of its own conversation. But it's interesting because when we talk about this intuition and psychic abilities, it's absolutely an in and out. It's a communication. It's a sending and receiving. It's an interaction. And if something is closed off and is not interacting, it's a no. There are closed doors. There are no entry in many, many situations when it comes to wanting to know something. And so for me, I don't psychically invade anything. And I'm cautious when I remote view because of what I know. And I think that's a healthy perspective because I do understand. I do know. I do see the bigger picture. Now, for me personally, I always connect with my higher self, the spirit me, the larger part of me for everything. I light up my electromagnetic aura, my light body, the timeless spaceship that I am. So I'm always protected. Some people go about it in a different way. A lot of people talk about, you know, if you're astral projecting or remote viewing, you do it this specific way, a silver cord, a gold cord, right? Or like with remote viewing, it's more coordinate based. Well, all of us are going to use our intuition and psychic abilities the way that we use it. It's almost like we all have our own personal vehicles because we do. You know, my vehicle, my electromagnetic aura, my human experience, right? My physical reality is different than yours. We're all different. We might all be life force creation energy, but we're all different. Again, it's not a one size fits all, and we all perceive and receive in different ways. It's through our awareness and acknowledging that which we're aware of. Absolutely. That's the interaction communication. And so I think that this misperception that I think a lot of people think there's this veil with dimensions where some of us are able to like kind of pull back the curtain of this veil and then we see every thought, we see every outcome. And that's not what's happening at all. I can absolutely use precognition and use my psychic abilities to feel through the momentum of something happening or not happening and maybe the timing around that. But I know I have to go lightly with time. And so you can feel through it, but you're doing that in the present moment, in real time. And so it's something that if people are involved, right? It's more than one person's energy. For example, this is a really cool story. And we are going to talk about the bracelet if you're wanting to hear about that. I just wanted to start with kind of these misperceptions around even having a conversation about psychic abilities. And, you know, we've been talking about telepathy and ESP, extrasensory perception, all psychic abilities. For me, I open as a channel and I use all those extrasensory perceptions, the ESP, and channeling is what that is. You're just an open channel. And telepathy is part of that because it's that communication, the in and out communication. And so I'm actually having a communication through my awareness and acknowledgement as I'm reading, channeling, sensing something. And for me, I'm always asking questions. And so it's kind of like knock, knock. And there, I get this, who's there? And it's like, me, I have some questions. Would you like to answer? And then I'll ask questions in different ways because questions are powerful. And so everything we're seeking is seeking us. There's that response to what we're asking and seeking. And so I ask a lot of questions, but I always knock. And so when I do a reading for somebody, having their birthday is the gateway for me, but also I like to connect through a moment of meditation, alignment, attunement, where I guide them into lighting up their light body, connecting with their higher self, the spirit them. And then I connect in as well. And then they receive the same time I receive. It's very powerful. I don't have to do that. Again, birthday is fine. But when I'm, you know, live with somebody or in person with somebody, it's really powerful to have that moment. And I can't tell you how many people I've done an in-person or a video or a live stream meditation for. And they have experienced the same thing. So I've guided them into their zero point. I've guided them right past, present, and future. And I actually experience what they're experiencing. It's amazing. Truly amazing. It's like a shared dream. It's so amazing. And when we specifically are talking about telepathy, most people are doubting the telepathy, but like the sense of smell, the aroma, right? For example, loved ones in spirit, right? Your loved ones in heaven. You doubt, a lot of people doubt that they're hearing their voice. But if you smell them, right, or the light starts flickering, whatever that is, now you're like, oh, wait a minute, right? I smell them. How can that be? And so what you believe really is what will be. And that's just quantum energy and quantum physics. And so if you're closed, you're closed. You're not going to receive, right? If something doesn't want to be read or revealed, it's not going to be. And so sometimes there's a no response. The door is closed. So here's that cool story I wanted to talk about before we jump into the bracelet. So I did multiple readings for somebody around an investment that they have. Now, this happened last year. And it seemed like their investment, the momentum around the time, so this precognition, right, that it was happening. Like, it seemed like it was happening really fast, but then something stopped. And here's what's interesting. This specific investment that this person had, or has probably still, there were a lot of predictions online. A lot of people that channel, they were actually making predictions around this specific investment. So it's pretty big. And it really had to do with one specific country. Now, there were other investments tied to it, so it could get a little bit complicated. But really, the seeking, right? The question, the investment, the original investment really stemmed back to this one country and what was happening. And so a lot of people online were asking about this feeling. You could really see, right, that there was this hype around it, a lot of energy around it. And again, really kind of these, kind of celebrity predictors, right? People are making predictions, but they claim that they're channeling. No judgment at all. But they were making all these wild predictions around this investment by certain dates, certain. And so there was that energy as well. And so when I did several readings for this person around this specific investment, it went from feeling like it was happening and it was really exciting and dates coming forward and even like dollar amounts coming forward to the door was shut. And it felt like there was one or two gatekeepers and this gate was closed and it was like delayed. And I even talked about this in past podcast around this 1-2-3-3-2-1 vibration of things unfolding. But there was this delay, deny, defend vibration happening with things. And a lot of people have felt that, especially with investments in the money and currency. And so it felt like there was like the brakes put on, but really it was this gate closing. And it felt like there were gatekeepers who had like locked the gate. So what I was reading and perceiving was it happened, meaning everything that needed to happen for this investment. Check, check, check. It happened. It was done. But one or two people were not going to allow it to happen. Now, it did feel like corruption. It did feel like something was off. And so this person gets back to me, I don't know, a couple of weeks after they had had their last reading that I said, it really felt like there was this gate closed, like gatekeepers. And they reach out and they say, oh my goodness, there's a friend of mine who also has the same investment. And he went to his Santeria spiritual advisor, and who's also a channel and reads energy. And so this person is into Santeria, but more of the white, the heavenly, the higher vibration of Santeria. And they are Cuban. And so this is part of their Cuban culture, is the Santeria. And they went to their advisor and asked the same question that this person asked in their reading with me about their investment. And the response was identical, identical. So there's another Santeria spiritual advisor who is an open channel and does readings for people, who is Cuban. I've never met this person. I don't know this person or the person that got the reading. I only know the person that got the reading for me. This was her friend and their spiritual advisor. And so he calls her and says, oh my goodness, here's what came forward. The momentum, it was happening. This is going to be an amazing payoff. You're going to be so wealthy. Like everything was positive. And then all of a sudden, the gate was shut. And his advisor said the same words that I did. Like a gate had been shut and that there were gatekeepers. And he felt like there were two gatekeepers that were holding a key. But he said the same thing, that it was done, that it's already happened. The investment is a good investment, but there are gatekeepers and that they're delaying it by closing the gate. And then he goes to say that he was feeling the negative, dark side of Santeria, and that there was some low vibrational, like voodoo, dark magic going on that was very heavy and negative, which is what I was feeling, corruption. And so how interesting is that, that you have two people who have made an investment in their friends. One, right, gets a reading with me, gets several. The other, with their Cuban Santeria, you know, spiritual advisor. And we bring forward the same information. Now, her friend, when he called her and said, oh my goodness, here's the response I got, he had no idea that she had gotten the same response from me. And that's when she's like, I have to tell you, I got the same response. Now, what was cool with mine is mine was done live. And so there was a live recording of it, a replay that will live on forever. And so I don't know if she shared that with him, but mine was recorded. It's really interesting how we can absolutely tune in to the same information. You know, his spiritual advisor might have a different title, right? Call it something else. But it's still that same information, because it's the quanta, it's the matter. It's the information. I call it the ether. It's just there. Some people do make it spiritual. And for me, it's just innate. We have access to all that information. And so we've also been talking about this spiritual, right? People having spiritual awakenings. I think it's more of this great awakening, meaning we're awakening to, oh, there's more to me, right? There's more to life. There's just more. Because it's not a one-size-fits-all. We're all going to receive and perceive. The way that his spiritual advisor channeled the information and perceived and received was different from me, but we received the same information. And we even use the same words. And that's what telepathy is about. That's what's so interesting with telepathy, is you might not hear the exact words, but you receive the exact words. Like, you might not hear it coming from them, but it's there. For example, somebody got a reading from me just the other day, and it also, it's live. It was a live recording. It was a live recording of my live stream. And in the reading, I quote the movie When Harry Met Sally. It's one of my favorite movies, actually. But it was so interesting. I'm doing her reading, and all of a sudden, in my mind, pops When Harry Met Sally. And I say in my mind, I say, oh, I love that movie so much. I'm doing a reading. I can't think about that movie right now. Like, I thought the movie was there, you know, because I was thinking about it. I love that movie. It's an oldie but goodie. It was like life before cell phones. That's when Harry met Sally. No cell phones. It's so great. It's such a great movie. Anyway, so in pops Harry Met Sally, I'm like, hey, you know, like, I'm doing a reading for somebody right now in my mind. I'll watch that later. And I kind of giggle in my head space, right? Well, I'm then taken to the end of the movie where Billy Crystal goes to find Meg Ryan at her New Year's Eve party. And he says that when you know who you want to spend the rest of your life with, you want the rest of your life to start right then, or something to that phrase, right? Like, he was basically saying, I choose you, I pick you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And that scene popped in my head, and I went, oh, awareness. Okay, I acknowledge this. So you see, when the movie originally came in my mind, I became aware, right? But then I thought, I acknowledged, oh, that's for me. No, it wasn't. I mean, it was for me because I was channeling. But then it took me to that specific scene. And for me, I use all the clairs. I see it here. So it was like I was watching the movie in my mind while I was doing the reading. And so I witnessed this part of the movie, aware of it, right? So I acknowledge, oh, this is for this person I'm doing the reading. Okay. So once I do that, it continues on, right? Because I'm using my awareness to acknowledge. So as I'm channeling and reading, I'm going, okay, I'm aware of what's coming forward. Now I acknowledge it. And then I move to the next thing, a new awareness, a new acknowledgement. Okay, the next thing. So if a new awareness isn't coming in, it's because I haven't acknowledged what has already come forward. So then I just go back and I go, okay, what already came forward? Oh, it's that. Okay. And then I move forward. Now, I do know at some point that the information is done, the message is like, it's been received. I have felt before while I'm channeling and reading for somebody that they're not perceiving it and they're not receiving it. And some people are closed off. Absolutely. They think they're open, but really they're closed off. And that's okay. Because when they're ready, they'll open and it'll be there to receive. So we don't miss anything. It's still there, but it is kind of like a pause button can be put on. Absolutely. So in this reading, I said, hey, you know that movie When Harry Met Sally? At the very end, Billy, and so I go and tell it, right? The person I'm doing a reading for says, oh my goodness, I have seen that video clip on repeat. I said, of When Harry Met Sally? The movie? And she's like, yes, I've seen it everywhere, that specific clip. I'm like, whoa, like, this is an old movie. Whoa, that's incredible. She's like, oh yeah, that's definitely a message for me for sure. You know, a few months ago, I had somebody in my coaching, one-on-one coaching, and I assist people with their intuition and psychic abilities. And they were seeing the Princess Bride movie. And I said, that is a message for you. That movie is a message for you. You should watch it. So that evening, she got all cuddly and cozy, and she watched it. And oh my goodness, like, Every 5 minutes, there was a new aha moment, an epiphany. Whoa. And she had seen the movie before, right? I mean, it was one of her favorites, right? Buttercup. Come on, Buttercup. And so absolutely, when she finally watched the movie, she stopped seeing it everywhere. She received all of the messages for her. It was made, the whole movie was a message for her. So when we talk about just psychic abilities in general, it's so interactive. It's not this psychically invading everybody's thoughts and feelings. It's not this knowing the outcome of everything. And for me, people that are making predictions, well, anything can change. The momentum could be slowed down, sped up, right? It's like this investment that I was talking about. It was going so fast. Like last year at this time, it was like, oh yeah, this is happening. People, this is amazing. This is amazing. And then breaks, right? The gates closed. And it did feel like somebody locked it. And they put the key in the pocket and they walked away. They're like, nope, not right now. Right? So the way that we receive and perceive, it doesn't play out like a linear book or a movie. And I think that's what most people are misunderstanding. And then I think what happens is it makes it hard for them to become aware and acknowledge their intuition and their psychic abilities, because it doesn't look like it does in the movies or with like the celebrity psychics, right? It doesn't look like that. It doesn't feel like that. But once you're tuned in to what it is for you and what it does feel like, then you can know for yourself and you're like, oh, this is it for me. This is my intuition. This is the psychic ability. Yes, because you do know for you. And it starts with you first, right? It's that inner navigational system. And then it goes from there. I remember, oh my goodness, so long ago. And I was really tuning in to how I was receiving and perceiving, you know, awareness, acknowledgement. And so I was receiving a vision of myself with a yellow caution light on my head. It was just a vision, no telepathy. I just had a vision of me with this yellow caution light. And as I was receiving it, I started really sensing a specific person. And I really felt uncomfortable. It did not feel good. And I was driving in a car, in my car. I did not feel good at all. And I immediately, my panic reaction was, oh, I need to call this person and warn them. Something could be happening. Well, that's not actually what the message was. That wasn't the guidance that was coming forward. The guidance for me was, you should be cautious of this person. When your gut does this, you should trust your gut. Like, you need to be cautious of this person. But what did I do? I called them, because I think this was back before we were all texting all the time. I called them and said, hey, I received this intuitive message. I didn't even really know how to categorize it or express it at the time, and a vision. And so I just want to caution you about whatever. And they were like, okay, right? And we move on. I get off the phone and I hear like a booming voice from my higher self that said, that was for you, not for them. And I'm like, oh, what? Like, oh no, I had really screwed this up. And I heard, you didn't screw it up, but that was for you to be cautious of them. And that, like, when you don't feel good like that, when your gut does that and you don't feel good, let that be a warning. Trust yourself. When your gut feels like that, it's a no for you. It's a no for you. And so sure enough, I was having to tell this person no. And I don't even have a relationship with them anymore. It was so negative and so toxic. And the thing was, is that I was protected. my gut was like, no, no. The guidance was for me. It wasn't for them. Now, do I wish I hadn't called them and said that? Absolutely. But did it mess up anything? Did it ruin anything? No, it was fine. Probably would have been better if I hadn't, but it was fine. So let's talk about the bracelet. Now that we've been talking about intuition, psychic abilities, right? Awareness, acknowledgement, how we perceive and receive is different. People misunderstanding it, right? Being open and closed to it. I think we have a great foundation to revisit the story because it is wow. I'm still blown away, and it's been a couple of years for me. It is something that will forever be in my memory and in my heart because it for me, it was life-changing. It proved to me what I was already on to, knowing how incredible we are in our minds. So in the telepathy tapes, which is a podcast on Spotify, I think it's on YouTube now. It's incredible. I think they're in season 2, which I need to get caught up so we can talk about it more. But in the telepathy tapes, they're mainly speaking of nonverbal humans who have incredible psychic abilities, but specifically telepathy and can communicate. So I believe telepathy is this highest form of communication, mind to mind. But I know telepathy is also heart to heart. It's a sending and receiving. It's a communication. But it's through the quantum energy, through the quanta, where we're not separated through time and space. So you can absolutely feel like you're physically with somebody. Absolutely. There's so many people that feel like they are physically with their loved ones in heaven, but also from a distance, we can also feel like we're just right next to or with somebody. And that's because we're not separated through the quantum energy and we can feel like we are in the same place and space. And so in the telepathy tapes, they talk about the hill, where a lot of nonverbal humans, especially the kids, will go visit one another and physically, mentally, emotionally be there, even though they're physically in their own homes or wherever they are. And they will just basically go into this meditative state of mind, the theta brainwave, and they will go and hang out and play and communicate with people across distance around the world. And the telepathy tapes have been able to bring forward factual proof that these kids, these people have communicated and they've never even met each other. It's amazing. And so I have been able to communicate with people that I've never met before. And so I think a lot of us, right, it's like, do we know this person? Do we not know this person? And in the telepathy tapes, they've been able to prove that these kids are, in fact, gathering in a meditative state of mind and having telepathy moments. But for them, it's mental, emotional, and physical. They are gathered on the hill together. And so I have been able to also experience this where it's mental, emotional, physical, and I physically feel like I'm there. So it's like astral projection, like you're, you know, or remote viewing, you're there. So I actually use astral projection and remote viewing together. I can project myself out to see or experience something. And it is very physical for me. Like I will feel my feet on the tile floor. I will feel my, I mean, and it's incredible because other people have been able to sense me. I had somebody that was in my coaching and I astral projected myself to remote view something happening in her home. And in that moment, she felt my presence and felt as though I had hugged her. And I did. Absolutely. And so with the story of the bracelet, I tell this in season 2 of the podcast. So if you want to go back, there's a whole podcast about it. And I'm not going to go as in detail this time around. I really just want to tell it from a new perspective now that there's more understanding about psychic abilities and how I was able to communicate with somebody in their Alzheimer's state of mind. And so I had this gentleman in my coaching, and he had been in my coaching for a few months. And so we had weekly video calls. And in one of the calls, it felt like I could hear somebody singing to me. Well, he had recently gotten married and his new wife had Alzheimer's, and it happened really fast. And she's brilliant and worked with numbers. So a CFO of a company, chief financial officer. So worked with money, finances, very thoughty, very analytical. Yes, I have coffee. Yes, I have coffee. And so her Alzheimer's happened really fast. Rapid and really shocking. And her husband was really having to redo everything, right? Had to move, had to like take care of everything. And, you know, it's interesting with Alzheimer's, many caretakers will pass before the patient, the person with Alzheimer's, because most people with Alzheimer's, they're so healthy, it's just their mind, and they don't remember. And they really do go into this childlike state of mind. So it's like caring for a child, and they don't remember. But as it's setting in, there's moments of remembering. And it's a very difficult on the caretaker, Alzheimer's, very difficult. My grandfather had dementia, and so it's heavy. Absolutely. And here he has this new wife who is brilliant and her memory is just gone. And here they're going to be traveling. And so really devastating. And so he was really trying to shift what he was doing and work from home. And he too was, you know, high up in his company, corporate America, and he was having to work from home and have this home-based business and really was spending the majority of his time taking care of her. And it was super sweet. What an amazing guy. And so we're on a coaching call, a video call, and I say, is she singing? His wife in the other room. And he said, no, the TV is going so that she's occupied while I'm having this video call. And I was like, okay. And that was that. And so I get off the call and I knew she was singing to me. I could hear her singing, but it was telepathically. And she wasn't singing physically. He couldn't hear it, but I could hear it. Like I thought it was coming through the video call and it wasn't. And so when I got off the call with him, I opened a communication with her and I called her by name. So you can absolutely, calling by name opens the channel and the communication. Absolutely. So if you want to call for protection, right, call on a loved one, call by name. So I call her by name and I begin to have this open communication with her. And she begins to talk to me about this bracelet and how this bracelet has been missing. And that's all she could focus on was this bracelet. And so I began to communicate with her and ask her questions about this bracelet. She shows me exactly what the bracelet looks like. I mean, everything about this bracelet, And so I go to her husband, who's in my coaching, right? And I say, okay, I know this might sound a little strange. And he knew that I used my intuition and psychic abilities. Absolutely. And he was open to that. He knew it was a different kind of coaching. But I said, this might seem a little strange, but I don't know if you remember in the video call, I asked if she was singing. He said, oh, I do remember. I said, well, she was singing to me, but it was telepathically. And he's like, oh, interesting. And so I'm sure he's like, okay, whatever. I'm going to listen to this, but whatever. You know, I could sense there was some doubt with him, which was fine. And I said, so I get off the call with you and I begin to communicate with her. And she's telling me about her bracelet and I describe the bracelet. And he goes, how the hell do you know about the bracelet? That's crazy. He goes, yes, that's exactly the bracelet. I mean, silver three bangle bracelet, but it was very nice, very, very high end, very special. And he said, I can't believe you even know what it looks like. He goes, I have to send you a picture. He's so blown away. Like, what? How would you know this? And so he sends me a picture of her wearing the bracelet. And I said, oh yeah, that's exactly the bracelet. He's like, wow. And he says, the bracelet's missing. I said, I know. I thought maybe you could help me find it. And he goes, no, I can't. I can't find it. I was like, okay, tell me the story about the bracelet. He tells me this very long story over a couple of years of her and her Alzheimer's and her memory going and how they moved. And so they're not even in their original house that she even remembers as their house. They've moved now to a different state even. Not just a different house, but a different state. And that the bracelet was lost over that time. And that he's even gone back in photos to see when she had it and then when she didn't have it. And so he said that he has completely torn apart everything in the house. He's gone through it. He's talked like, and he said that she is obsessed with the bracelet. That's all she talks about is the bracelet, and that she's constantly looking through her phone and constantly talking about finding the bracelet, and that she has even made accusations that maybe somebody took the bracelet or it was given away or like whatever with this bracelet. I think there were even times where she would start to regain her memory and would think that whoever was in the room was talking about the bracelet and they weren't. They were talking about something else random and she thought they were talking about the bracelet. Like the bracelet had consumed years of their life. And this is all that she talked about was this bracelet. Consumed her, absolutely consumed her. And then it consumed him as well. And so he tried to buy her new bracelets. He tried to replace the bracelet, like everything about this bracelet. And so when I knew about it, can you imagine how shocking that was to him? Like, what? And so I said, okay. So I go back to her and communicate with her because she's very easy for me to reach. I just call her by name and I wait for her to sing and then there she is. And so I call her and this time she takes me to a backyard with a swing set and there's a man that feels like a dad in the yard. And she's a child swinging on a swing set. And she begins to telepathically, like I'm having a vision at the same time as she's telepathically saying, I'm in my backyard and I know this is her childhood home and this is my dad. He's not interacting with me though. He's just there. And she's inviting me to swing and she's on her swing. And so I ask her if this is where she is now. And she said, yes, this is where I am. So I was able to visit where she mentally was and where she was going. So when she wasn't remembering who she was, when she wasn't able to, right, have a normal interaction with people because of the Alzheimer's, she was traveling in her mind to her backyard swing set as a child with her dad. So that's where she is. or was. I don't know if she still is there, but that's where she was always, in her backyard. So when her husband's talking to her, when people are interacting with her and she's not responding and she's childlike, it's because she's actually swinging in her backyard with her dad. She's not even having a present moment interaction, even though she's awake. She's actually there. So it's like she's having this out of body experience all the time, but has gone back to her childhood. And so once I'm there with her and I acknowledge it, I ask her about the bracelet. And she starts explaining to me, I put it in a very special place because my memory. And it was interesting because it was like almost as though she was speaking to me telepathically as the child on the swing. It was so interesting. And she was talking like a child. You know, I saved it in a special place. I put it in a special place because I knew I wasn't going to be able to remember. And I didn't want anybody to take it. So she starts telling me the meaning of this bracelet for her and why it means so much to her, like the core root of why this bracelet is so meaningful to her. And so I have this understanding of what the bracelet means to her. And so at this point, I ask her to show me where she's put the bracelet. So again, I'm having a long communication with her. I'm listening, I'm acknowledging, right? And then I ask, where did you put it? And she shows me. So she takes me to a house that has this most beautiful backyard with a swimming pool and all this amazing landscaping and with pots with flowers. And she takes me specifically next to this large pot, and right next to it, she had buried her bracelet in. It looks like an old handkerchief or like a white linen cloth of some kind that she wrapped it up and she buried it in her garden. And I knew exactly where it was. And so I told her that I was going to try to help her find her bracelet. And I just talked to her, and I had a moment with her as well, where I invited her to like come out of the backyard and to interact with her husband, and that it was okay. And so I just had, you know, this moment of love and healing with her and inviting her to come out of that backyard, and it was okay. And so I call her husband, right? And I say, okay, I know where the bracelet is, but let me tell you the story. So I tell him about this backyard and the swing set. He was like, oh my goodness. That is incredible. That really is her home. And he talked about her father, talked about all of it. It was so incredible. And it made him, like, it really put him at peace that that's where she was. Cause he had been wondering, like, where is she? Like, where are you? Where are you going? Like, he wanted to make sure that she was happy wherever she was going. Like, he knew she was leaving. That's what he would say. Like, she would be there and then she would be gone, kind of thing. And so that brought him a lot of peace, and he was relieved about that. And then I told him where she put the bracelet, and he could not believe I had described their home before they moved where they were perfectly. And so I actually drew him a sketch of the backyard and the pots and the swimming pool. He was like, that is exactly our old backyard. Like, to where, down to where the pots were. And he said, there's no way, like, it's been too long. There's no way I'm going to be able to go back and find that. Like, and there's no way she buried it deep enough that they didn't, right? Like, they did, of course they found that, the new people that moved in. Absolutely. And so here was the cool part, is after we talked about it, he went to her and talked to her about the bracelet. And he said, you know, the bracelet's in the old house. We moved. It's gone. It's, you know, we don't have this anymore. But the good news is that he had bought tickets to Cancun 2 years before that. And that is where she had bought the bracelet for herself. She had bought this bracelet, I don't know, 10, 15 years before that, when she was in Cancun with a girlfriend, it was like a girl's vacation. And it was a big thing for her to buy for herself. It just meant a lot. It was like buying herself a wedding ring. It was just this self-love moment for her. And she loved Cancun and she loved to travel. And it just meant the world to her. It was special. And clearly it was special, right? She couldn't let go of it. And he had Cancun tickets for them 2 months after that. Isn't that incredible? He had bought them 2 years before. And 2 months from that point, they went to Cancun and he took her back to the exact place where she bought herself the bracelet and was able to say, they don't have it. And he pulled out a photo of the bracelet and showed the owner of the shop. And he said, oh, I remember this bracelet. I don't have it. And so she decided to pick a new bracelet and he bought her a new bracelet from that same shop. And let me just tell you, after that, she never asked about the bracelet. Like when he brought it to her attention, even though she was in Alzheimer's state of mind and in and out, she no longer looked for the bracelet anymore. No longer talked about the bracelet anymore. And, you know, he wasn't exactly sure if she was really there in Cancun when he bought her the new bracelet, but she was totally at peace with it. She never looked for the bracelet again. She stopped searching for it. It was absolutely incredible. But here is more of the story that I didn't tell you about. When I have loved ones in spirit, right, heaven, interactions with people, I have a lot of people in spirit that will assist me. They are so grateful and thankful that I deliver messages. And so I always get a thank you from loved ones in spirit, from spirits in heaven that communicate. So that would be called, for most people, mediumship, if we're looking at psychic abilities, right? Medium. But I'm just an open channel. And I communicate with those higher life force creation energy. And so that is heaven. Absolutely. And so when we talk about this veil, right, for me, it's not a curtain that I'm pulling back to see something. What it is it's me breathing and connecting in to have a communication. And I'm open to receiving what that communication is. And then sometimes I ask questions. Because it's an interaction, right? It's interactive. And so it's not like I'm pulling this curtain of this veil back and I just see everything that's there. Now, I do see and experience things, absolutely. Not everybody does. But again, I use all the psychic abilities, all the clairs. They're always in play. But sometimes it will just be telepathy, right? Sometimes it'll be a vision and telepathy. Different, we all perceive differently, right? But each time I'm communicating, it's different. So I'm just open to whatever that is. And we can communicate with people who were already returned back to their spirit, right? No longer having a physical experience. So they're in the wholeness and completedness of who they are in spirit. In heaven, however you want to phrase that, whatever words for you. But then those of us still having a physical experience, we can still connect. So I can connect with somebody else's higher self that's still alive having a physical experience. So this woman, right, I'm having video calls with her husband. I'm talking to him physically in person. But her, she's still having a physical experience. Even though it's Alzheimer's state of mind, and I can easily telepathically communicate with her. And she can easily send me visions and show me where she is. And it's all happening at the same time for me, right? I don't have to tune out of the physical, open a veil to see the non-physical. For me, it's all physical and non-physical. It's all happening at the same time for me. So I just breathe. attune, align. Okay, let's do this. And it's that easy for me. Now, sometimes I do need to just be open to the communication, right? And give it some time to unfold for it to happen. Sometimes it's not so immediate and fast, but most times it is. And it's always just right here. So like, I don't have to wait for a full moon, a new moon, anything like that, certain time of day. Now there is that allowing the energy, right? Allowing the timing, allowing it to come forward. So sometimes there is that, right? Just being open and then allowing it to happen. And so I get a lot of people after I have channeled a message from a higher self, a loved one in spirit, whatever. And you can call that mediumship if you want, which is communicating with those in spirit who are no longer having a physical experience. And so what happened with this beautiful woman with Alzheimer's is after the bracelet was found, or not found, right? But we knew what happened to it, basically. And conversations were had with her. Like, he physically had conversations with her about the bracelet. I felt her. And she came and she thanked me. Thank you so much. Like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for getting me out of that loop, is what she kept saying. Thank you for getting me out of the loop. And just so grateful and thankful. And she asked me if she could assist me. Which, again, this happens quite often. And I love it. It's beautiful. Some just say, thank you so much. You know, there's this gratitude, appreciation, and love. And then others want to assist me, right? And so I always say, yes, yes, I'm open to having assistance. I'm open to a guardian angel. I'm open. Yes, yes, thank you for the love. I'm open. And she says, I want to help you to connect with the numbers. I'm like, what? The numbers? Well, that is something that I had been interacting with my higher self and the universe about. I am challenged with psychically tuning in to things where there's numbers, like dates, money, right? Like number related things. I don't know what it is about the numbers. And like I told you, she was a CFO, chief financial officer for big companies, very successful. And she says, I want to assist you with the numbers. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've been asking for this assistance. This is amazing. And I'm like, yes, I'm open to receiving about the numbers. And so I start telepathically communicating with her over how I would love to be able to know what I know, but around numbers. It's very easy for me to psychically tune into humans and what's kind of happening on planet Earth, right? So humans and events happening. And I'm just more tuned in. I'm super tuned in to people's thoughts and their heart space, right? When it comes to specific people. So it's really easy for me to read people and what's going on in their headspace and their heart. Mental, emotional, and physical. But when it comes to numbers, right? Dates, time, you know, money, whatever that may be, I've just been challenged by the numbers. And I think it's because I overthink the numbers, right? And I also don't want to get into predictions because I know it's precognition. And so is it this overthinking of precognition when it comes to numbers? Well, really what it is it's more of that analytical. It's the left brain stuff. And that's where she guided me, was this is, you know, kind of the right brain creative side. And this is more of the left brain analytical side. And she assisted me with playing with the numbers and being able to run some experiments and do some fun exercises to help me tune into the numbers, which is super cool. And I was telling you how I did the reading for somebody with investments, right? That's what I'm talking about. You know, tuning into investment opportunities, right? Tuning into the timing of that, the perfect timing, without it being a prediction. You see what I'm saying? To be able to open to receiving opportunities is really it is around the money, the timing, right? And so she started assisting me with that, and I had so much fun. There's a state that I'm super near, another state where there's casinos. There's no casinos in my state, but like 30 minutes away, we drive north, and there's reservations with casinos. And so she was like, "You should go up to the casino, and we should play with the roulette table with numbers." And so I tell my husband, I'm like, "Okay, you know this." I don't want to say her name, right? I don't want to make her name so public. And so I'm not trying to label her as the one with Alzheimer's, but just for storytelling purposes here, I want to keep her name close. I don't want to publicly say her name. It's a beautiful name. Absolutely. Her name is actually a plant that's very healing. So her name is a healing plant, which is just perfect. So I tell my husband, "Hey, you know the lady that I'm telepathically interacting with?" He said, "Yes." I said, "She says I should go to the casino and we should go to the roulette table and play with the numbers, because the roulette table, you have, you know, it's black and red, but you have all these numbers, and then the ball spins and lands in one of the numbers, right? And so what you can do is place a dollar bet on a number or like a combination of numbers." And so what we decided to do was to go to the casino, go to the roulette table, and just do $5 bets, right? But that means we could bet on five or more numbers at once. So we weren't doing the black or red or anything like that. But what I was doing was tuning in around the timing of these numbers with the roulette table and then the money aspect of it as well. Well, let me tell you, I have never hit so many numbers on the roulette table as I did. Now, we just weren't using a lot of money. So did I win? Yes, I won. But it wasn't a moneymaker thing. I wasn't there to gamble. We were there as an experiment. And it was amazing. And so what I would do was tune in telepathically to her guiding me, right? And she wasn't telling me what the next number was going to be. She was coaching and guiding me into what I was feeling, right? And then we ran experiments. Was I manifesting the number to be that next, right? Or was I tuning into what the next number was going to be? You see, like, there were so many different perspectives around what I was tuning into and the timing of placing the bets. And so I started tuning into what I was hearing and just started following what I was hearing and what I was guided to do. And so I wasn't receiving like, put $5 on 11 this roll, or in three rolls, put, you know, five on 27. It wasn't that. I tuned into the pace and the timing, right? And kind of the rhythm of that and the numbers. And what I was attracted to, what I was repelled to, and what I felt inspired in that moment to do. And that's when I started hearing, leave it on 11, leave it on 27, or this is coming, or that's coming. But what I had to do was I had to allow the dollar, because I was only doing $5 bets, right? Which means I could put a dollar on each number or a combination of numbers. And so what I was mainly doing was doing $5, right? And picking five numbers. So I'd put a dollar on 11, a dollar on 27, a dollar on, you see what I'm saying? So I'd pick five numbers each ball. I hit one of those numbers about every other ball. So I was winning 35 to 1. So if I put $1 on, let's say, number 11, I think I won on the 27 more than any other number. 27 is a lucky roulette number, that's for sure. But if I put a dollar on 27 and it hit, that's $35 payout, right? But if I'm betting $5 each, right, I'm clearly not making a whole lot. I'm not winning a whole lot, I should say. Not making. I wasn't working. I was, right. Oh, maybe I was working. Maybe it was more working because it wasn't gambling or betting. It felt like I was fine tuning and it was fun to win, right? But it wasn't about winning. It was about, oh my goodness, it hit. I figured that out. Like there's an algorithm. And so I could not believe when we were done, I think we ended up being like $200 up and had dinner and had a really great time. Like what a fun night, right? It was a free night. Plus I won a little bit. If I had been putting $5 on each number, I would have won big, right? But that's not what I was doing. And so it was a lot of fun to just treat it as an experiment. And I have never, ever, ever hit that many numbers on the roulette table. I mean, it felt like almost every other one, we had a dollar on it. It was incredible. And so she actually assisted me in so many other things. And shortly after that is when I started tuning into new investments, you know, crypto. It can be the coins and the cryptocurrency can be really confusing. And so I utilized my intuition and psychic abilities and things that I had been learning with numbers and timing and just all of that through the telepathy with her and that experience with the bracelet that I started just tuning in to receiving instead of this overcomplicated research, which I am educated with it. You know, I have educated myself, but it's because the guidance that came forward. So I had, you know, XRP, XLM, certain things coming into my attention, my awareness, when I would ask about making investments and money and crypto and the future of things. And I would go to my husband and say, you know, what is this? What am I receiving? And he would say, oh, there is that. Oh, there is this. And I'd be like, wow. Okay. Well, I think we're supposed to get it. Like, I think there's something going on with that. And he would be like, yes, actually there is. And so I remember when we started talking about XRP, it was like 40 cents. And it's gone up almost to $4. I think 380 is something, one of the highs. Anyways, and there's some crazy stuff going on with the market and crypto. Money and currency is shifting absolutely and changing. And there's a lot going on. That's a whole other conversation. But now you can see why I wanted to tune in around money and numbers and dates and timing. Because I wanted to be able to channel and read when it comes to the money and the currency shifting and the timing of that. It is overcomplicated. And there's a lot of he said, she said, right? I mean, it's crazy. And I didn't want to get involved in any of that. But I didn't want to miss out on any money opportunities. And so because I was open to learning, right, and tuning in and tapping into how I perceive and receive the numbers and the money, that was a challenge for me. But once I started feeling through it for myself and building that muscle, right, and having experiments, so I know for me, my husband started tuning in too. And he was like, oh, I'm feeling this. I'm like, we had fun with it, so much fun with it. And so we both started just activating that when it came to the investment opportunities, and we both started feeling it. And so I remember with XRP talking about it again when it was like 40 cents, and now it's way up. And XRP, I believe, is the future because it's different than Bitcoin. It's for cross-border payments, all sorts of things. I didn't know any of that when I was receiving about XRP. I just thought XRP was another crypto, right? It was like another Bitcoin. I didn't even know the difference between Bitcoin and XRP. Well, now I do. But how cool that came into my awareness. And I talked about it in so many people's readings and live streams because I was receiving about it. And so then I started receiving about XLM, which then I found out is like the cousin to XRP. And they're like related. And XLM, I think, is still at 40 cents right now, which is incredible. Well, here's the funny thing. You know, my husband picked up all of this. We use Kraken. I love the Kraken app. I think we have Gemini as well. Anyways, and so he goes and he picks up, you know, all of this cryptocurrency that we had been talking about. And we are constantly scooping up and buying on the dip. So like when XRP or XLM goes down or dips down, we buy more. We buy more. We take advantage of those opportunities. But it's because we're so tuned in now. It feels so innate. It's amazing. And we also really do believe that XRP is the future. And so don't feel like you've missed out on Bitcoin. You can jump into XRP for sure. I'm not giving any kind of financial advice, of course, but it is part of the story, right? And so I asked my husband, I don't know, a couple of months ago, hey, do we still have that XLM? And he goes, actually, I sold it. I'm like, hold up, you sold it? He goes, yeah, something else. I can't remember what it was he was going to get. And we didn't have all that much and blah, blah, blah. I was like, No. I psychically received XLM. You have to pick that back up. You have to get that. I am not kidding you. He picked it back up. Excuse me. I had to clear my throat there. I don't know. Maybe I'm coughing because he sold my XLM. And so I said, oh, no, you have to pick that back up. He's like, it's fine. It's so inexpensive. I'll pick up what we had. And I was like, I psychically received that information. He's like, you're right. I'm so sorry. I will pick that back up. He picks it back up. The next day, it boomed. It went way up the next day. He said, I can't believe you knew the day before. Here was the thing. Out of nowhere, I had this gut instinct, this gut knowing to ask about our XLM. I asked him because he does all of our buying and selling with the crypto. And so I asked him and he's like, oh no, we don't have that anymore. I'm like, oh no, you got to pick that back up. We're supposed to have that. And the next day it goes up. I knew, right? There it is. So it's on my radar now because I'm tuned in and tapped into it. So there is this alignment, attunement with what you want to harness. I mean, here's another way to look at it or feel through it. Free energy, right? It doesn't matter if you agree with free energy or not. Nikola Tesla, all these people that talk about free energy, right? The free energy is there, but how do you harness that? And then how do you transmit that out? See, there's a sending and a receiving, right? The free energy is there, but we have to harness that. And be able to, like, how are we supposed to plug into that? And that's what Nikola Tesla was trying to figure out. A lot of people have been trying to figure it out, but they've been suppressed, right? Another podcast. But where that free energy is all the free information, wisdom, intelligence, and knowledge. And so I'm just tuning in to that, but it's a communication. It's interactive. It's not like it's sitting on a paper or a microfiche or something, right? Where you can go back in. You remember the microfiche? I love the microfiche. Yeah, it's this alignment, attunement, like you're the antenna, right? Are you sending? Are you receiving? And what are you tuned into receiving? So you can fine tune what you're open to, right? What you want to receive. And so what I have learned is it was really easy for me with all the psychic abilities and everything when it's personal, when it's right-brained, right? But once it becomes analytical and numbers and dates, it gets a little staticky for me. And I'm like, oh, and I overthink it. It's almost like I'm taking a math test, a timed math test, right? I got a Scantron out. I'm having to bubble in with the pencil. Oh, the anxiety rushes back. See, that's what would happen for me. And so the process of telepathically communicating with somebody in this Alzheimer's state of mind and then being open to continue this communication after and receive this energy exchange, because see, that's really what it is. Everything in life is an energy exchange, the in and out. There's an energy exchange. Like the people that are your vibe, you have a great energy exchange with them. There's a sending and a receiving. If not, people are what? They're like draining and sucking. And so that's what happens when there's the sending and receiving through telepathy, physical or non-physical. And so this precious, wonderful, dear lady in an Alzheimer's state of mind, once I pulled her out of that loop looking for her bracelet, she wanted to participate in life. And I showed her through telepathy that she was still loved and valued and people still cared about her. I was able to go in and reach her and assist her to come out. And that's what she did. I mean, the Alzheimer's is still there, but she's not stuck in that loop. And she wanted to say thank you. And she wanted to assist me. And so who was I to deny that energy exchange? I mean, ultimately, her husband didn't pay me to do any of that. I didn't get paid to interact with her. I mean, was he in my coaching? Yes. He paid for coaching, but what I did with her wasn't a part of his coaching. I mean, did it benefit him and help him? Yes. Ultimately, it was. But really, it was for her. And so she wanted to say, thank you. Let's have an energy exchange, right? It wasn't this idea of, I want to pay for that. It was, thank you for what you did for me. I want to assist you now, right? And it's beautiful. And I said, yes, let's do this. And so she hung out with me for a while. It was so much fun. You know, it's interesting because I talk about this knock, knock, that there's not this psychic invasion. If you ever feel like invaded psychically, it is not positive. I assure you, benevolent and benevolence and love and heaven knocks first. It's beautiful. And it's an invitation. It's an offering. There's not this invasion. And so it's interesting because I would always know when she showed up. I always knew when she showed up. I could smell, I could hear my senses when it's her. There's the jingling of her bangle bracelet. And then there's ice and a glass. It's so cool, but I hear her holding like a glass of ice water and the ice on the glass when the water moves, and then her bangle bracelet. So it's like her, you know, her arm that has the bracelet also has this icy drink. And so I always would sense her and I would say, oh, you're here. And she would say, yes, is this a good time? Like she would come knocking, is this good for you? Yes, I'm so glad you're here. Like, let's chat. Let's catch up. And then at some point, she stopped showing up, which was fine. And so anytime that I think about her, I just say, I love you so much. And I send love to her. And send love to her husband. That's all I do, is just send it. And so I just want to invite you to open to the conversation, the communication, the sending and receiving. It's not like the Wizard of Oz with some curtain that you pull back and you see it all. It's not that. It is different, but it's magical and it's a discovery. It's this magical discovery along the way. And the coolest part is that there's guidance. You're the student and the teacher. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. Absolutely. Did I know that there was going to be assistance and a teacher to help me with the numbers and the money and being able to tune in and tap in to the things that were a little bit more challenging for me. No, I had no idea. But did I ask? Yes, I did. I did ask. I know that when we ask questions, the answers absolutely come. And you know, it's interesting because prayer is asking, right? But then meditation is receiving. So ask, but then be open to receiving. So I just want to ask you, are you open to receiving? Open, soften, and allow. No key is needed when you're open. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for sticking around until the end. I love these podcasts. I love being here with you. Thank you for the 5-star review. And I love hearing from you. I want to invite you over to my YouTube channel, Lucid Life Vibes. But I also want to invite you to all the meditations here on the podcast platform. I also have a Patreon at Lucid Life Vibes. It's free to follow on Patreon. I post there all the time. But I do have an 1111 membership portal on Patreon with an ad-free experience with the podcast. I also do Halfcast Diving Deeper. And I have many series over on Patreon. How to connect with loved ones in spirit, how to connect with spirit guides, how to receive messages. It's all there on Patreon in the 1111 membership portal. But I do have a new YouTube channel. I'm collaborating and co-creating with Rhonda here, who also has a podcast. And we created Illuminated Pathways 1111. There's new algorithms. So we have a new YouTube channel. And I have energy healing there for you, but also on Lucid Life Vibes. So I want to invite you into meditation. I want to invite you into ASMR relaxation. And I create all of that in full-length videos on YouTube at Lucid Life Vibes and Illuminated Pathways 1111. I have 12 digital coupons for Christmas, the 12 coupons of Christmas. You don't have to get out into the Black Friday crowds. You don't have to leave home and deal with the madness. Stay cozy and comfy. Let me give you my quick link for all 12 digital coupons. I handpick them all of them. It's mydeals.page/JKXL. It'll take you to all 12.